Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're grateful that you have joined us tonight, and I hope our Facebook friends are watching us live. We're live tonight. Bear with us as we endeavor to carry the show out through our first trial here. But this is a talk show that is an online venue designed to help Building Families and Communities Institute, which is our research arm of our nonprofit, to reach a national audience. And what we do is we focus on real issues confronting families and communities. The show serves as a catalyst for us to have that dialogue. Naturally, we began in Nashville, Tennessee, where we're based, but we're aiming now to extend our reach to 14 other cities, focusing on helping young men in particular. And we realized that to help them, you got to help the whole family. So you will hear a lot of our topics and conversations germane to that very thing. So again, we're grateful for all of you who have joined us tonight, and we hope that you enjoy this episode. We look forward to hearing Pastor Ricky Waller in just a little bit. If you're listening to Facebook Live, if you see us on Facebook Live, rather, and you like to call in, feel free to call us at the number that's posted there, 657-383-0944. You're just listening from the Blog Talk venue, and you want to call in and be a part of this discussion, likewise, 657-383-0944. For new listeners, we're going to start with our monologue, where we give a background for our conversation and our dialogue tonight. During our last episode, which was entitled The Essence of a Woman, Her Mind or Body, we were reminded by some of the ladies that were on the air with us that women face difficult challenges, you know, in being the best women that they can in 2017, and young ladies in particular who have become mothers. The question about single parenting, is it normal or abnormal, was raised, and we had a pretty good conversation. And I promised those ladies that tuned in with us, they said that they will join us again tonight, promised them that we will follow up with answering that question for them, that essential question, is it normal or abnormal for single parenting? And again, I want to emphasize the fact that the intention is not to point a finger, lay blame, or to castigate anyone in any negative way or dispersion, but for us to really understand where we are and what's going on relative to the issues that arise from single parenting. And I know that over time, we're going to address that in our monologue, though. So just, I want you to be aware that that is our primary intention. Having said that, we're going to go ahead to our monologue quickly. We got a special guest from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Brother Casey Clark, going to be joining us for a little while, and hopefully our ladies will come on and join us as well. Let me go ahead and get to our monologue, and then we can open up the phone lines for real live discussion. And I hope my ugly face don't run you off too bad on Facebook there. All right. Becoming a single parent, normal or abnormal? The second chapter, verses 4 through 5, reads in the King James Version of the Bible, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. 5 says, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Let me first begin by giving a functional definition or formal definition of the word normal and abnormal. Normal, the usual, typical, or expected state or condition, conforming to a standard, usual, typical, or what is expected of a person, free from physical or mental disorder, normal. Abnormal, deviating from what is normal or usual, typically in a way that is undesirable or worrying to others. Okay, so let me just kind of give you a background on single parenting here. A single parent usually refers to a parent who has most of the day-to-day responsibilities in raising their own children or their child, which would be categorized then as the dominant caregiver or the primary caregiver, who is not living with a spouse or someone that is, or those who are not married. The dominant caregiver is the parent in which the child or children have residency with the majority of their time. In other words, they have custodial care that parent does. If the parents are separated or divorced, children live with their custodial parent and have visitation with their non-custodial parent. In America in general, following a separation, child will end up in the primary caregiver's hands, usually the mother, and a secondary caregiver, which typically is the father. There are exceptions. Historically, death of a spouse was the primary cause of a single parent. Single parenting can result from the separation or divorce of a couple with children. Custody battles awarded by the court or rationalized in other terms determine who the child will spend the majority of their time with. This affects children in many ways, and there are many suggestions to counsel them. A mother is typically the primary caregiver in a single-parent family structure. As a result of divorce and unplanned pregnancy, fathers have been less commonly primary caregivers in the past, presumably due to the assumption socially that a child from two separate parents is better off with the mother than they are with the father. Okay? Now, single parent adoption is sometimes an option for adults who want children but are not married and perhaps who are not able to bear children themselves. Single parenting has become an accepted norm in the United States of America. There is debate concerning whether or not only the single parents themselves are effective at raising children. And this is where our question comes from tonight. but also the children themselves that are involved are a factor that we should consider in their rearing. Although divorce is one of the main events that lead to single parenting today, it may be the majority of the cases in the U.S. But what we find now, more than really since 1970, is that individuals choose to have children and not be married. And many of them find themselves not necessarily planning to have children, but they have them. Okay? All right. There are four common circumstances which tend to lead to a single parent. Let me go over those right quickly. The first one, unintended pregnancy. Some out of wedlock births are intended, but many are unintentional. While out of wedlock births have become accepted by society today, in the church, in the social environment, in the legal system, there are policies and laws that make it much easier to do so. Okay? The rate of unintended pregnancy is the highest among unmarried couples. In 1990, 73% of births to unmarried women were unintended at the time of conception, compared to 44% of those births overall. Mothers with unintended pregnancy and their children are subject to numerous adverse health effects, including increased risk of violence and death, oftentimes in certain situations. The children are less likely to succeed in school in these type of homes. This is what the research has revealed. As well as there's a greater tendency for them to grow up in poverty and to be exposed to criminal activity. All right, in a divorce, according to a census report, 2009 in particular, the overall divorce rate was around 9 per 1,000 in the United States. In 2003, a study showed that about 69% of children in America living in a household that was a different structure than a typical nuclear family, father, mother, children. This was broken down in about 30% living in a step-parent, 23% living in with a biological mother, 6% with grandparents as caregivers, 4% with a biological father. With someone who was not a direct relative and a small 1% living with a foster family. Around the mid-1990s, there was a significant amount of single parents raising children, with 1.3 million single fathers and 7.6 million single mothers. You see the huge difference in the two. Death of a spouse. Historically, the death of a spouse was the common cause of single parenting. However, that has changed. Such causes as sickness, war, most commonly, however, homicide is a serious factor today. Single parent adoptions are somewhat controversial in nature today. They, however, still are preferred over divorces, as the divorced parents are considered an unnecessary stress on the child. A single parent a person wanting to adopt a child has to be mindful of the challenges that they face in terms of them being totally dedicated as a parent all the time. And often you may not be able to have time to yourself. And that's the same thing that two parents figure out for themselves if they're doing it right. Okay? So this is the case of an adoption. Now, of course, now we know we see that in recent times, adoptions have included people of alternative lifestyles as well, and there's a push to try to make that normal as well. Okay? It simply cannot be overstated that the greatest risk factor for African-American males that we see in jeopardy of dying in the streets or being incarcerated, but what all the data says is that in these urban areas, it's the family structure, the breakdown in the family structure, and the single parent homes that they come from. That is a primary variable to their circumstances. Now, the argument has been made by many that, you know, women can take care of it. We can fix it. We can handle it, and we can do our thing. Now, as I said the other night, I'm not a woman, never have been, and not trying to be one, so I can't really speak fully from the lens or the perception of a woman. But this I can tell you. This I can tell you. There are some people who've been around and who understand you got to be honest with yourself. And since I can't tell you, let me go to somebody who knows. And I think some of y'all, if you're old enough, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when I tell you what Barbara Mason said. I'm going to let her talk to you. Since I ain't no woman, I'm going to let Barbara Mason talk. I think y'all know who I'm talking about. Listening to Talk Straight, this is your host, Reverend Dockery. 657-383-0944 is the number to call. Get in where you fit in. We have Pastor Waller on with us, as well as my good friend Casey Clark out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, excuse me. And Brother 1098 is joining us again tonight. Gentlemen, how y'all doing this evening?
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. All
good.
Right. Good. I'm waiting on the ladies to call, gentlemen. I hope they will join us.
It's right.
We heard from a lady. We heard from a lady, and we're live streaming on Facebook here. So I hope some of our participants will call us there too. Again, 657-383-0944. Where did I go wrong? Somebody help me now. Help me. You understand some of the statistical factors and some of the issues.
Okay. I'll go first,
go ahead.
I beg to differ with the research. You know, I do understand that you researched, and you stated that the researchers stated that, you know, most of the women got pregnant unintentionally. Now, I beg to differ with that. If a woman do not want to conceive, she would make sure that she do not conceive. You know, they have all sorts of birth control out there. Now, if she's raped or something in that nature, yes, that is unintentional. I say all the time, Reverend Dockery, women are the gateway. Women are the ones that bring men and women into the world, you know. And
true.
That gate,
true.
They should respect that gate, you know. Uh-huh. And the reason why a lot of things are happening is because they do not respect that gate. If they respected that gate, a lot of the things that go on with them wouldn't go on with them. Now, you know, I say that.
Okay.
I beg to differ with that research saying that they didn't intentionally get pregnant because they could have been prevented. And I hold
right
there.
Your point is well taken. Your point is duly noted. Anybody else?
Yes, sir. A lot of the young
ladies.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. A lot of young ladies have already made that mistake once, twice,
uh-huh.
and even three times, sir. And it's
okay.
It's like a house on fire. You need to get out of it before.
Mm.
You understand where I'm coming from? Because I see this. We're not picking on anyone, but it is. We've got a problem in our neighborhood, sir. Especially in the church.
We do. We do.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's where I see it.
I'm going to switch. I'm going to switch sound here, gentlemen, so my Facebook guest can hear you all. All right. Can y'all hear me still?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Great, 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 great. All right. Well, now, okay, Casey, your point is well taken. Pastor Waller, weigh in. Weigh in.
Yes, sir. I'm here. I'm just listening so I can kind of get a better feel of what's really happening, man, because when you're talking about with the intent versus not, I mean, some know about it and some don't. I mean, some can try to trap a man because they know that what they're doing, they're trying to be pregnant. I mean, that can take place. Now, I had no knowledge of it at all concerning my come up. You know, I wasn't familiar with one was trying to get pregnant or not. When I was in a relationship with one, it had nothing to do with, I wonder if she's going to be pregnant or not. You know, so I guess it happens, and I don't know what the majority is, but I do know some make a plan to get pregnant. I've heard that. And then I've heard them say, well, I didn't know. I've heard that. So I don't know which one way, you know, the most, but at the same time, I just know once a child is born into the world, the responsibility should kick in for someone to attend to the baby because he didn't ask me yet.
Right, right. Okay, okay. Let me address first caller here, 1098. When they got the data that I made reference to, it was based on individuals who came into the clinic, and they did an interview of them or an intake, and they asked basic questions. Many of them asked what level of environment was the biological father, where were they, and that sort of thing. And what they discovered was these young ladies, and we're dating back now from 1970 up to present, sir. What they discovered is that overall, by and large, the vast majority of the people that came into these public clinics were not trying to get pregnant. It was not their intention. They were not thinking about marriage. They weren't thinking about raising children, nor the responsibility that came with it. They found themselves mothers. And so that's what we mean by the unplanned or unintended pregnancy. Now, then there were cases where individuals came in and they couldn't afford prenatal care and things of that nature, and they were married or they were engaged. So this is how we derive to the point that what the data says, I think, is very much true and clear. Interestingly enough, Andrew Billingsley wrote a book about black families in America, and he described how based on social policies as well as a mindset in the country, mostly the rise of the feminist movement and things of that nature, many women were moving away from the idea of being locked into a family, and they were finding reasons and justification to divorce and to leave and not work things out. I think that's where my friend Barbara Mason was really coming from. You know, you can play big girl if you want to, but you're going to miss out on something.
Right, but, you know, still, you know, I still beg to differ with that. This is just like a lot of guys, you know. I mean, I'm a move over, but I'm still on the same page. This is just like a lot of guys. When they get consummated, the first thing they want to say is,
Go ahead. We got another caller.
Okay. Excuses. That seems like a good line of excuse for, you know, saying it was unintentional. But I still wholeheartedly beg to differ because I do not buy that. They're going in. They're talking to people. Well, I wasn't trying to get pregnant. I mean, this is, you know, with the research thing,
well,
but I disagree with it.
Okay. Okay.
Strong,
all right, hold
wholeheartedly,
I disagree with it. Okay. I think this is one of the ladies we were looking for. 615-3072. Welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Ruben Dockery. Go ahead. You're live.
Thank you. I'm just getting off of work. Was rushing to try to get in on the show. Your topic was on whether single parenting, or what was it again?
Right. Becoming a single parent, is it normal or abnormal?
I think definitely it's a norm today, but it's abnormal. I mean, it's a lot of single moms out there raising their girl, you know, children, and there's definitely, we got some single fathers out there, but it's abnormal. It's abnormal.
Thank you.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. I think he agrees with you tonight.
All right.
Thank you.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
Good. Pasquale, you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just saying hi. I was speaking to her and thanking her for coming in.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, caller 3072, you missed a little bit of Barbara Mason, but let me bring the other portion of her in because she explained some things, Brother Outcast.
Mm-hmm.
She explained some things. She made it very clear that, listen, when you play big girl and you say, I don't need no man, and I'm all right, I can handle it all by myself. I bring on the bacon, fry it up in the pan. Marjorie, you know the story.
Yeah.
Well, listen to what Barbara Mason says about it. I asked her, give me the truth now. Tell me the truth about it, Barbara. Here she goes. Let me go straight to 3072. 3072, is a lady fooling herself to think that you can do what takes two people to do and finish it off effectively by yourself?
Okay. Well, I think that depends on the situation and the people's involved. So while one woman may be singing that song, another one may be singing something totally different. As if I'm not catching hell. I'm in heaven without this fool, without having to feed him, without having to try to raise him, without having to be the breadwinner, without having to instill the right morals and values in our children, because he's so busy out chasing other skirts or out hanging out with the fellas or beating on me. I mean, so it just depends on the situation.
Oh, man.
In some cases,
okay,
some of the women and the children may be better off with that person gone with their dysfunction, while others need that wholesome, good father to round things off.
So now, let me ask you a question. Oh, well, hold on. Before you jump out there too deep in the water, now it's cold. Casey, talk to me about that before you get out of here, man.
It is science to say, and I think our Bible says, that mother and father be in love, show love, live love. But to the young lady, this is Casey, and I stand on this on top of the White House. I think today's time, it is no excuse for these young ladies to be having all these babies with all the help of science nowadays. A lot of these babies, they keep on having them.
Wait,
go ahead,
minute, you all. Casey. Wait a minute, Casey. Wait a minute.
I knew you all were like me then.
Wait a minute. It sounds like we may be putting more blame on the young lady than we need to. She didn't get pregnant.
I can't have a baby. I can't have a baby.
Well, hold on. But you sure can make one, can't you? Oh. Ooh. Help me hold it, though. Here's the catch. And this is what Pastor Wallace say all the time. Mama's baby, daddy's what? Maybe. Now,
baby.
Here's the truth. Some folks want you to believe in church, Jesus is my baby daddy. Well, we need to call child support then. Because somebody needs to take any baby other than, amen, somebody. The truth is,
what I'm saying is,
we don't want to beat anybody up, the young man or the young lady, but we want young men in particular to understand that you have a responsibility to your 23 chromosomes that brought that life in the world. Now, you may not know how to do that. That's where BSC Institute comes into play. We want to teach you how to be responsible and take that load off of the rest of society, and most importantly, off of that single mother by herself. But watch this, guys. That can't happen until we encourage what? The promise of marriage and family. Where did I go wrong, somebody? Maybe somebody on Facebook don't agree with me. Give me a call.
Okay. Well, can I say some 3072?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, now, and I agree with you on that. But, however, I think it goes back to the original show about mind or body. So they could be in the Sacred Institute of Marriage, but if neither one of them were brought up right or taught the right things, then that's a marriage of destruction and possibly destructional life for the child. I see a lot of marriages nowadays to where couples are swinging. It's happening.
That's true.
So I'm gonna
ask my friend Pastor Waller to weigh in on that. Help us with that. Pastor, sound like we got some mess going on here. Help us with that, Pastor.
It's really interesting. I know that, and I wanted to make sure that, like I said earlier, but once the baby arrives, there's no excuse. Someone have to attend to the baby, whether they turn it over to the state or you know how they go sometimes. One just become willing to accept the responsibility. Now, there's a lot of you just said to Casey earlier, you said, well, you can't have a baby. And so just in doing that, I mean, sometimes a lot of guys, you know, make those babies and they still don't step up for what the reason is.
And I think that
myself, you know, I utilize my only example, and I talked earlier on Tuesday about an opinion, you know, and I don't want to become wise in my own opinion because I might be right and I might be wrong. So I always like to deal with truth, you know, and the truth is what makes us cheap. And so in my situation with me bringing up my daughter, something that I didn't know anything about 21 years ago because she's 21 now. And when she was turned over to me, she was only about 3 months. And her mother walked up to me and said she'd be better off with you than she would with me. And, you know, hearing those words, you know, knowing that I didn't even bring up my other two kids as a result of what happened, because, again, I got three different kids by three different mothers. So I'm not, you know, rejoicing about that. It's just in my ignorance, I didn't know nothing about they was going to get pregnant and whether they was trying to or not. But it happened.
So
I'm dealing with now to say, okay, whether it's a good thing or not, I can't say. I know I wasn't married. You know, it wasn't a divorce going or anything like that. It was just I seen her, she seen me, or whoever made the move. It doesn't matter which way that came, but it happened.
Okay.
So if I don't know nothing about the Bible, you understand? And then people don't know nothing about the Bible, okay? And they don't know what's in the Word of God. So all they doing, they going for what they know. It's a song that's being played, and they dancing to the music sometime. It happens that way. Or they just meet wherever they meet at. And all of a sudden, it's let's get it on. You know what I'm saying? And it happens like that, man. So, you know, we will keep tuning in, listening for some information that may be affected. The bottom line, when kids coming up today, and they are coming up in a speedy formation today, much faster, and there's so many things that's going on, so they've seen a lot, and it's amazing. So I have a a small amount of things that I can say concerning it with the way I used to do my thing. My goodness, I'm just thinking about the insanity.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let me share with you what one of our Facebook participants are saying, and I'm just going to go by the first name, Nellie. Nellie says, I think being a single parent in today's society has become acceptable, and I think that's what some of you have said, Outcast and the other caller here. Even though raising a child without a partner can be more challenging, there are many successes with single household parenting. You know,
yeah.
we cannot say that is not true. We cannot.
Yeah, it's true.
However,
it's true.
However, I would caution one to believe that should become the standard or the norm today. Here's why. Now, what we find is that some of the most successful people in the world have character flaws. And I would argue that those flaws are related to some failure in terms of them knowing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about who they are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can be a doctor. You can be a President Clinton and still get it twisted. Have I got a witness?
That's
yes.
right. That's
yes,
right.
You can be a preacher, a politician. Huh?
That's
an
right.
Indian chief
that's
and still get it twisted. Have I got a witness? What we find even as Catholic priests, they believe that they should not be married and they don't need a woman and so forth and so on. And secretly behind closed doors, I'm gonna stop right there. I'm gonna leave it right
yeah.
there. But the truth is, God made us. God made us to be fruitful and to multiply in the context
yeah.
of family. And marriage mm-hmm. was the framework by which family was to be threaded. And what we've done is to erase that line. We've erased that line, so we don't know where normalcy is anymore. I'm sorry, you were trying
right.
to say something, 3072?
Yeah, I was in agreement with you, but that's a whole nother show about, you know, whether people that don't want to have children don't. I respect that. More than them just running out there and impregnating
yeah.
the whole world
sure.
and, you
sure.
know,
wow.
running and not looking
yeah.
back. You know, I respect
right.
that. I respect
right.
you, you know, women or men that decide that at least they're only abominating themselves or, you know, and not hurting children. But I agree
right.
with what you were saying. It could be the most prominent person. It could be that they were adopted. That's hurtful.
Sure.
For a child
sure.
not to know
sure.
who or where they come from in
right.
any instance.
Right.
But
absolutely.
Especially
absolutely.
For a child to know one source, hey, I have mama here, but I don't know
mm-hmm.
what my daddy looks like. I don't know, do
yeah.
I have a smile like his, or does it mean because he's not here that no man will ever love and respect me, or, you know, that's
okay.
hurtful. So if it's supposed to be that way, and if that's how God ordained it, I can't see it just being totally successful. That your life is not a success measured by your status.
Right.
You have to look at it again, back to the man. You could be the richest person, but the miserablest person that's suicidal.
That
to me, life ain't worth living then if you're not happy.
But listen, right. let me try to
well,
be now for a while.
All right, go ahead, Casey. Go ahead.
Let me just try it for a while, but let me talk to the young ladies. If he can't
okay.
be seen with you, like, if that boy can't be seen with you in church, he have no business being seen with you behind closed doors. That's the problem I have
Whoa.
With a lot of in today's church,
okay.
my hometown
okay.
now. We don't
okay.
never see him with
okay.
but they continue having churches.
Well, so here's the thing, Kate. I agree with you, Casey, but here's the thing. From the time they're born, somebody should be teaching them as they grow physically, emotionally, and psychologically. Okay? That's why it's important to have a voice of authority, a masculine voice of authority. One of the reasons so many young boys don't know how to respect women, Pastor Waller, is because nobody's taught them how to respect a woman.
Uh-oh.
And that's why you need a father in their life.
Uh-oh.
One of the reasons young girls are looking for love in all the wrong places is because nobody told them where to start looking for love. Amen, somebody.
Yes.
Where can I get
yes.
Amen.
Where can I get teaching?
Go ahead, Casey.
Yeah, where can I get teaching at?
Come to www.bscinstitute.com. That's a good start. That's a good start. This discussion,
okay.
is the purpose of this discussion is to be informative and to be transformative. And I hope, sir, is that individuals would think about it. If you never see my ugly face again, that you'll think about the change that needs to be made.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense to you?
Agree with you, but that you only, that's just one place, and I know you're going to do right, but we need more than just one place.
Well,
that's
Casey,
right.
Lord be my help, we're going to get to these 14 cities. That's the part of the process. I can't get to them overnight, Casey, but I'm going to be working at the next year or two or so. You pray for me, yeah?
I always do.
Well, I was going to say that, and I think we shouldn't just stop there with the fathers. I mean, what about trying to nurture a family, the family as a whole? I mean, they lucky that I'm not the president. It would be a law that if you have a child with somebody, y'all, you're going to get married or go to jail. And you, your child, and that, you're going to raise it at least to 18. Y'all going to be stuck together.
Wow.
You'll
what
be
about
stuck
that,
together.
Pastor Waller?
I like her boldness, you know, but I think you were talking about, you know, the word of God, and he said, whosoever will, you know, let him come. So if you don't know him and you don't know and understand by where, but if you have the foundation and the instructions that's presented, I think it would make a big difference.
Sure.
And you know,
that's happening. You know, it's not, the word of God is not out into the world in which it needs to be. And I think if it was out in the world, because the word of God does say, go out into the world and preach the gospel.
Right.
The gospel is the good news, and that is in the Bible about what God joined together.
So
no,
let me ask you, Pastor, about the Bible. Back in the Bible days.
Go ahead, 30 seconds.
Back in the Bible days, was it not so that even if a man had 12 wives, he still was bound to them by whatever that law was then? Whatever that law was. So if you women back in the day was dumb enough to lay with, let's just say, Isaac, and you had children with him, then you stuck with Sarah, and you stuck with Mary and Isaac and all them kids.
Well, Pastor, if you don't mind, allow me.
Go ahead.
You have to understand, caller, that was the Western philosophy and society that we live in today is certainly nowhere near what it was during the zeitgeist of that age in that Eastern culture. You're right.
And
if
perhaps that's the problem.
Hold on one second. Let me finish this out. If a man in the Eastern culture during that time, if a man could afford a wife and concubines or handmaid, yes, he can have as many. But that is not the structure of the constitutionality and the system or societal structure that we live in. Here's what's sad about it, though, and I'm going to let you get to it. Here's what's sad about it. We don't have any real guidance now, so people now in 2017 are doing their own thing, whatever hit them, whatever they feel like. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem. Somebody was going to say something. Was it? Go ahead, Brother Clark.
I would like to go back to what the lady said, too, because Red China passed a law. You can only have two children, whether you're married or not.
Yeah.
You are,
right.
I don't think we were made to be free, you all, and I stand on that. We have to go by the Bible or the man's law. Too many people just going what they want to do nowadays.
Yep, I agree.
They don't respect anything.
I agree.
So, Casey, are you suggesting that they've been given enough rope to hang themselves? Is that what I'm hearing you? That's what it sounds like I'm hearing you going. That's where you're going.
I can prove it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. That's proof.
Uh-oh.
Well, and okay. Look at what the scripture was saying about people, and I know this is kind of off topic, but like with marriage, people think, oh, well, I'm married, and the bed is undefiled and all that. Well, God didn't just institute, let's say, sex just for a couple's pleasure only. It was
intended
for a reason. So just like now today, you don't just go out jumping doing what you do because it feel good. There's consequences behind feeling good even and feeling good too
much. Well taken. Point well taken. Point well taken.
Reverend Doctor, this is what I was stating earlier. Women are the gateway, and women don't want to get pregnant. Now I'm going to go back to the 1970s. In the 1970s, in every household where there were females, when those certain girls came up to a certain age, all of them were on birth control pills. They weren't just having babies just like that, you know?
Were they keeping their legs closed?
They were taking those pills and they were having sex, but they weren't getting pregnant, but that didn't stop diseases and things of that nature.
Now,
I disagree with the researchers. You know, I mean, even going back to 1970,
they get
a group of people, each one of them, if a woman don't want to get pregnant, she will not get pregnant.
Hold on one second. 3072. I hear what you're saying. Perhaps it's not so much that they're cognizant, especially when you're a little girl, of the fact that you're trying to make yourself feel good and you're trying to keep up with what everybody else is doing and what they're doing. Perhaps you're not fully aware of the consequences of your actions. But the truth of the matter is they know that they're having sex. They know they're having intercourse.
Right.
Maybe they don't fully understand what comes with that. I think that may be what you're saying. But when you look at it, a lot of young ladies have, this is well documented, that they're asked, why do you have so many children outside of wedlock? And what they'll tell you is that each of my children is a bond that I don't have to pay for.
Yeah.
It's somebody that I know love me. Somebody that is a part of you. You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on one second.
I understand. I'm not saying that you have to agree with me. I'm simply explaining what's been documented. Now, this is a qualitative study.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
So for these people, it was real.
Okay. Can I interject?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was a teen mom, and just a hint, secret to the guys out here that think they doing all that when they can lay a woman down, it really don't be all that. So it ain't even just about feeling good. Because while brothers think they doing something, it's really about, like you said, hey, this guy is lying to me at least, like he's going to love me and be with me if I do this with him. So I do this with him. And again, I don't feel good during the time I'm doing it or after, but I'm thinking in exchange, I got somebody that's going to be with me. So the guy runs off.
Okay.
He runs off, and I got a baby now that I know is mine, that I can love, and that is looking at me every day, loving me, crying for me, mom.
May I interject for a moment? If mom was there with that child, the father didn't have to be there, but if mom was there with that child, giving that child proper guidance, you know, perhaps that child wouldn't have got pregnant. Now, like I stated, you know, I grew up with sisters, cousins, and friends, and women friends in the neighborhood. Like I said, they were doing the 1970s, you know, coming up into my teenage years. None of those women got pregnant at a young age, you know, because the mother was there telling them what they need to do. I'm finished, but I'm not disagreeing with you, Reverend Dockery. You read what you read. I'm disagreeing with them. You know, this is
what
I'm disagreeing with.
I see what you're saying. I follow what you're saying in terms of mindset, the mentality. But go ahead, 37-2, then I'll weigh in.
Now, and you spoke, sir, you spoke about the 70s. Well, my era was the late 80s and the 90s, and my mom was there. My mom was working. My mom was in school herself. My mom instilled things, but when my mother couldn't be there, guess who was? Some young boy telling me lies, and hey. So mama can't hold your hand the whole time, and what mother was trying to teach me was to keep your dress down, keep your legs closed, and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got peer pressure out here from other people that ain't being taught that necessarily.
Sure.
Okay, but what about birth control?
Those are two different.
Were you introduced to birth control?
I snuck and got some, yeah.
Good.
And guess what? When my
good
mother, no, it wasn't good because I still wind up with a baby. I didn't know nothing about how to take it.
Because you couldn't get your supply that you needed.
I did. I wind it up still with the baby. I didn't even know the facts about it, that it can cause blood clots, that hypertension ran in my family.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Let me say this, too. Let me say this, too. Here's the game. Here's one of the games, and I think everybody online know what I'm talking about. So now we're telling young people, just go get a prophylactic or condom.
Right.
Okay? Here's what happened. The little fella said, girl, it don't feel right with that. And he weighs it down. And before you know it, we done lost all of that. Amen, somebody. And when I catch you at a time that you're not thinking about it, here's the point. What a father tells a daughter. I'm not talking about a pair of britches. Now, let me be very clear. I ain't just talking about somebody with a little must under their arms and some hair on their face. I'm talking about a man who is a father who is a man. What he tells his daughter is, baby, your body is precious, and you are the vessel of life. And nobody should ever experience that until they commit their life to God and you.
Agreed.
See, they ain't got no business knowing what you. Let me keep it clean here. We on with this. Is out of time here. They ain't got no business being that close to you if you ain't made no commitment, and vice versa.
Agreed.
But this is what is not politically correct to say to young people in 2017. It's do whatever you feel like. That's part of our problem, and that's one of the reasons why the structure of homes that a single parent ran has become the norm now. What used to be abnormal is normal now, because we've moved away, as I said earlier, from the line of what is good and profitable for reproof. Somebody was trying to say something. Was that you, 1098?
Me, I had custody of my last two daughters. I had custody of them. When they became of a certain age and things of that nature, yes, I got them. They were taking the depo shot, whatever. I sit down and I talk. I said, look, this does not mean that you go out and have sex, I explained the peer pressure and things in that nature. And I also explained to them that they are precious, save themselves, get married, get your education. I knew they were going to get the high school diplomas, which they got that, I tried to encourage them because I knew they wanted to go back to Memphis where their mother was. They left with a high school diploma. They left. They wasn't pregnant or anything in that nature. They were 19 and 20 when they did start having their children, But
and
they knew
1090.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
1098, I commend you, and I think that single parents that are men are not recognized enough. I say kudos to you.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Well,
Go ahead, Case.
You've been quiet.
Talking good, but we got to admit and we got to just say, what in the world happened to us? You know what? What good is the truth in a world who don't want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Talk to me, somebody. Y'all want me to preach to you?
That's true.
Yes, sir. I think you're trying to sneak a preach in on me, man. Go ahead.
Watch this right here. Why do these little girls walk around half naked in the church house?
Wait a minute now.
Wait a minute. That's the truth. I've been around church an hour or two, Pastor. Guess what? Why is the thing now? Call me a thug man. Even the older women are saying it. Talk to me, young lady.
I got to get a rough neck. Is that what you're talking about?
A thug. I said about rough. I said a thug. The thug era. That's what we live in,
okay.
That thug era. Hallelujah.
Look, wait.
Right.
He's talking about the older women. He's talking about the older women. Sir, I don't go out with nobody that I'm dressed better than.
I'm not talking about you, Lord. You're not listening to me. You're not my problem. You're not the problem.
Casey. The other day, lady that was on made an excellent point. And she said that the older women must bring themselves to the mindset that they have to represent the best modeling and qualities of womanhood for these young ladies today.
See, you're still talking
right. Yeah, that means you cannot compete with them to look cute. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. But you got to be grown enough to tell them that, baby, if they see they see your cleavage and things of that nature, you might as well go ahead and don't be accused of false advertising.
Okay, now that's another show, Peter.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're laughing. You know why we're laughing, Pastor Waller? Because this is uncomfortable conversation. But it's one we must be
honest
about.
Show. That's another show.
Okay. All right. We're talking about becoming a single parent now. Normal. By the way, let me stop here for a second. 657-383-0944. If you're listening, we welcome your question, your comment, and if you join us on Facebook, we're grateful for you. Thank you. All of those who made comments and encourage you to respond to the questions there. Let me do this, guys, if y'all don't mind. Let me get this. Casey, here's what we're trying to do. I know Casey has to cut out in a little bit here. But here's what we're trying to do in a commercial. And when we come back on the other side of the commercial, I want y'all to hear what O.B. Wright said is ideal for relationship. Just 1 second.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
But God said, when I chose Pastor Waller.
Yes, sir.
Did he tell the truth?
Yes, sir, without a doubt, and that's what we need more of, and that's what I was basically just meditating about. You know, I'd like, you know, to be able to at least present good examples. You know, to be a good example is a real, real genuine need in society to be that, and I was in that area. Yeah, I was a failure in that area, so I know that, you know, what I, you know, presented to the world was something that I presented. I was ignorant, and I didn't have the knowledge and neither the understanding. But here's the key to it now. Let's just say, for instance, because I know that I brought my daughter up, and I knew that when she came into the world, it wasn't her responsibility to take care of herself. So I had became aware that God was actually a good God because I got in relationship with God, in fellowship with him, and now I know. Mm-hmm. And then here comes, I wasn't preaching, was not in the ministry or anything, but I had a relationship with God, and I seen the power of how he worked in my life at the early stage. Now, for me to receive and accept this baby, knowing nothing about how to bring her up, the first part was recognizing that someone had to step up, and that's what I did. Now, you know, to think about what the Word of God is one thing, and I'm still thinking about what people in the world would present. It means you go for what you know, and if you don't know anything about the Word of God, I go back to that. You can't apply the Word of God in your life if you don't know. And so you know, I think about being a failure. That's all I can come up with is like, man, I failed in that area, man, and how many more people are doing the same thing, you know, not knowing. If I had the knowledge, I had the understanding, if I had the power, would I have done something different? I would love to say yes, but because I didn't know, man, I had to go for what I knew. And that, you know, and that, I didn't set a good example for my child. So for me to tell her, you know, don't you go out there and do this and that and the other, even though I'm letting it be known that, hey, here's a book about my life. Read this. My daughter still came up with it. She came up pregnant and was not married or anything. So, you know, it wasn't a whole lot that I could say as a result of that, because all she had to do was come back with something like this. Well, hey, Dad, you wasn't married when you had me. If she wanted to say that, I didn't. But that would have been a compliment if I had to do me. Hey, come right back to me again, because my example was not a genuine example. I don't call her as I say, an accident or anything, because I know we have a forgiving God. But the bottom line, man, is it don't have nothing to do with being no preacher, no minister, nothing like that. It's that peer pressure sometimes. You understand? With all the knowledge, I'm going to say this, then I'm going to turn it over. With all the knowledge that my daughter had about me, if one thing did not happen, I'll tell you that. Didn't nobody slick talk her. I knew that. That had nothing to do with how sick a person and how good they look and all that kind of stuff. It has to do with it happened. Now, what do you do now that they're here? And that's the thing I had to deal with, man. It was tough, but I dealt with it.
Well, I'll tell you, when you look at young people today who identify themselves as gay and lesbian, interestingly enough, the definition that they offer for what they mean by it is what is promoted and promulgated in society via the media and other literature and things of that nature. But they don't fully understand themselves. What they say is, I love them. I love them. I want to be in love. I would argue that because parents, those who brought them in the world, gave 23 chromosomes, somewhere the ball got dropped in terms of teaching them who they were and what their function in life was. Their understanding got misguided and twisted. So that's the primary thing. When I talk about parenting, and I raise the respond to the question as to whether or not it is normal or abnormal, when parents were made from the beginning, the Genesis account tells me, now that's what I know. Now I got to go with what I know, right? And in every other sacred book of writings, it makes reference to this, speaks to this. But in the Genesis account, it said that the Creator intended specifically for male and female to procreate and to be fruitful and multiply for a reason. As the caller was saying, 3072, not to make yourself feel good. Now, yeah, he gave you a libido. That was a means to the end, but it wasn't the end. You understand? But the point was that there was a specific function and purpose in terms of continuing the cycle of life and the cycle of creation. We've gotten away from that. And with all due respect and love, even if I had to counsel a couple who were gay or lesbian, they said they wanted to adopt a child, out of love, I would share with them that it's important for children to understand that there's a reason they're born with the biological features that they are, and that is so that they can procreate and continue the life cycle. It can't happen under those circumstances. And same thing with single parenting. I know people are doing what they can and the best they can, but that's not what God intended. Sorry. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. I ain't sorry. That's the way it is. What do you say about that 3072?
Agreed. I mean, you're right, like the pastor was saying about his daughter. I mean, he admits that, and myself included, we make mistakes, and sometimes we have to pick up the pieces to, you know, make right what we did wrong. But, yeah, at the end of the day, what we did was wrong. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't beat yourself up about it, right? Is that what you're saying? The point here is not to beat yourself up, but to correct.
But to make it right.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
To make it right. So he raised his daughters, and he tried to instill the right, you know, values and teach them as well as he knew how. And I think that's all that God is going to hold us accountable for is trying. You know, when we realize we've done wrong, try to make it right. Do the best you can. Don't just keep doing the same thing over and over, knowing it's wrong, though.
Well, let me ask you this: Who, if I'm a young man and I'm horny, who can I go to teach me how to deal with that? Where should I go? I mean,
You should go to the bathroom.
Okay. I'm joking.
You should have a father figure. You should have a father figure that you can talk to about, hey, what's going on with me?
Well, so if I'm saying I don't need no daddy, my daughter and my son don't need no daddy, I can raise them by myself, what's wrong with that picture then?
Well, that's missing because he needs to know about that, definitely. But I was joking. I'll stop with the joke. So.
No, you provided a sense of flavor for our dialogue. I appreciate that. Pastor Waller, would you agree that one of the things that we need more than anything else in society, and again, I'm not pointing a finger blame at anybody, but even in our theological perspective, we need to really focus on how we can bring our babies. I love our older people and what have you, and some of us are so old that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But these young babies, I'm talking about these young cats that are out there in it, man, hustling and trying to get it and trying to get it the way they live. You know what I mean? That's who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Sleeping in cars, staying up all night trying to make a living for themselves on the street, you know, slinging and banging. That's what I'm talking about. Let me make it clear who I'm talking about. You understand? And the only thing they can do to medicate their pain is go get some little girl pregnant.
That's right.
Now what we need to do, that's what's happening out in the streets now. I don't know where anybody else is going on, but that's what's going on these streets. And what is necessary is for me as a pastor, you as a pastor, Pastor Waller, to focus on how we can take the word of truth and we can apply that to their lives so it make a difference. Now, they don't want to hear us talk about Peter and Paul and Jesus and Lazarus. And they don't want to hear about all that, man.
No, they need truth. They need truth, and that's what the bottom line is becoming great examples, and that's what they need. There's nothing wrong with a good example. And the reason I say that, you know, because I dipped to the Bible and I peeped it, I was like, man, why they didn't take this to the street years ago? Maybe because they didn't know, or they was just fun in church and they missed it. I don't know. Or sister, if you don't mind, let me say this right here. I definitely want to hear what you guys say because I love your spirit. This out. I step into the church and I discover something. The Bible says and that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. So I was like, was in church sleep? I thought their eyes was open. I thought their ears was open. He said, it is high time to awake out of sleep. You know, and when he said that, that means it's time to check yourself. You know, and if we check ourselves and realize what's going on the outside, then we would take the true gospel out there, which is the good news, and I'm sure some may reconsider what they're doing because you bring good information. But if we're just talking and because we can talk as well, and there's no good example nowhere, chances are they're going to continue to do what they've always done and get that same result. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to share that right there. You know, I'm so glad that, man, and the sister stated earlier about, you know, I'm no longer the way I used to be as a result of that. And I'm woke now. But I was in a deep sleep. I didn't have no clue or anything. So I went for what I do. And that's what it was. So, sister, I want to got to say, I appreciate you too.
All right. I was just going to say, though, you guys were asking, like, getting to the young men or even the young people. So I think the problem is then, like, not being able or not knowing exactly how to reach them where they are enough to, like you were saying, the world don't want this. Well, how do I get in their ear? How do I get up to them? How do I get, you know, to where I can gain their attention?
Right. Great point. Is that a question you're asking? Colin?
Yeah. I mean, it's something for us to think about to, you know, try to figure out.
Well, interestingly enough, we've been discussing that on some previous shows, and that's really what the focus of this drive is. I have a lecture series, and I actually have a piece local to Nashville called Parent Empowerment Initiative. We work with the juvenile court judge, Sheila Calloway. And because she was trying to find out how to not be so punitive to these young men that are coming before the juvenile court, we sit down with her and we share with her our approach to engaging the parents as well as these young men in a way that they can come up with a redesign for themselves, right? And so without going into all the details of it, I say that to say that there are some research-based methodologies that we shared, and that's really what the lecture series focuses itself on, not only Nashville, but as we go into other venues, to look at the dynamics there, the socioeconomic dynamics that cause single-parent homes, that cause homes to break up, that cause people to get together and make children and not be there. How do we address that? I never will forget one of my proteges. I drove him down to Smoky Mountain. Well, his dad was locked up there. And essentially the whole point was to have the dad explain to him how he got there and why he was not in his life. Do you know, unfortunately, that young man wound up going to jail himself because there were so many other variables. And the truth of the matter is you're right. It's not just a one-person deal, but it's a collective effort. And that's why I'm always focusing on how we can collaborate the church with mental health and that with the social service agency, but more importantly with the parents themselves. How can we rethink where we are and turn this thing around for ourselves? If we don't, we're going to continue in the same cycle. I'm sorry,
Here's the answer.
Okay.
Please, how can we as the churches? First, we can stop being in competition. How about that?
Wow.
We can stop competing. That's the first thing. Because like the Bible said, we're one or two gather in my name. So if the churches are gathering in their own names, and I'm not going to call no churches out, I'm just saying you're on your own program for your own reasoning, then, of course, nobody's going to be reached because, like you said, it takes more than one. But if I'm too busy competing with Pastor whoever, then, right, nobody, and people are going to be turned away. They're going to be disgusted by it. They're going to look at you like you're no better than I am, and there's nothing you can tell me.
That's a beautiful thing because those are the people that are still asleep. And see, when you're asleep, that's what you do. You are in competition because you are asleep. And that's why the Bible says it is now high time to awake out of sleep. You know, and that means, you know, that's when you check yourself. When you check yourself, you recognize that I'm no longer asleep anymore and let me do what I can do to make a difference. You know, and that's the beautiful part about it. That, you know, the Word of God is there. You know, it's for the people to receive, embrace, carry out. But who's doing it? And that's the thing that she's saying right now. You know, if we carry the Word of God out, you know, and you have to meet the people where they are. And in order, because that's how I was met. You know, the pastor came out of the church. He came to me. I was a person that was caught up into the street life, you know, captured by the world's ways. He came out and said something to me. And so, you know, I only think it's fair for me to do likewise, because had he not came out, I don't know what I would have done or where I would be right now, but I thank God that he did come out. So you have to meet people right where they are, and that's the thing.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, here's a thought. So with all these strong men, I'm talking about you pastors now, why not just get together a group, and there could be funding for this thing here. You don't go under one church, go under one church, but not just one pastor. There could be like 30 pastors trying to get money from the government to help the community. And there you have sites that people can go to. Not just, everybody's – yes.
I hear what you're saying. Can I tell you something that I had a summit back a few years ago, and I had a bunch of young guys that were drug dealers and hustlers in the church with
them.
And I had about 12 gentlemen that were 60 years or older that sat on the panel.
Yeah.
And you know what the young man stood up and said? He said, the problem us getting together like you're suggesting is that they're going to get to fight. When he was saying they, he was talking about us preachers, Pastor Wallace. He said, they're going to get to fighting over who's going to get the offering. It hit me by way of indictment that I said, you know what, the little brother may be on or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there was just like a certain amount of money that was allocated for each site, then nobody's fighting. We're offering the same thing.
In fact, I would argue that there are monies that you're taxed by the government for that can be matched with those type of efforts where you raise money specifically to address certain social ills, socioeconomic ills in the public schools.
Right.
As it comes to these issues with parenting, as it comes to social justice model that keep young guys out of the criminal justice system, there are a whole lot of things that can be done, right? But you're right. There has to be a will to do that. That's the main thing.
Well, and it can be done because if you say you got God behind you and you're running for Jesus, you can't tell me. You cannot tell me. And y'all done gathered in his name for the right purpose that it can't be done. So maybe the problem is people just want to hear they self talk or, you know, enjoying the good conversation. And when it comes time to do the work, meaning, hey, I'm going to be shamed because maybe I went up for something and I didn't get it, or people are talking about we shouldn't be doing this, or, this is not looking so good for my church, or, you know, then people just shy away. They be quiet then.
It don't take a whole lot. I like that what she said because, you know, you know, if you're standing on what the Bible says, and that's the thing, you know, for who is standing on the Word of God and who is doing the work. And, you know, when it says that the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.
And
it's giving you simple instructions that the laborers are few. So, you know, you may have too many. And, you know, it's because of so many people having their own way of thinking and doing and all that. And so the one accord is being stripped. That's where a person is in a deep sleep at, because one accord is appropriate to have. It's worth it.
Wow.
You know, because with the world, the world is on one accord. Believe me, I came out of it, so I know they're on one accord. They're still doing their thing. And they live it up, and they're spending a lot of money, a whole lot of money. You know, they're spending a whole lot of money as we speak. You know, they're not waiting on Sunday to come. They're spending money each and every day.
They're doing it right now.
Yes, I'm telling you now. And so, you know, they're on one accord. They're on one accord.
Of
been like
course.
That since I came out of darkness.
And
hey,
hold your thought, 3072. Let me slide this last portion of OB right in here, and then we'll wrap up our next 9 minutes of conversation around that.
Good night. Before we go to bed, I take my babe and we get out on our knees and raise our heads toward heaven, and then we thank God for sending us to each other. Binding us so close together. You see, we could have fallen by the wayside. But one can't fall without the other. We also thank him for being so good and so kind to us.
Perhaps the issue is young guys and gals think that the reason you get together is to have fun, because old guys and gals are not doing what O.B. Wright said. You're getting together to pray and ask God for guidance to keep you together, not just so you can have some fun. Hit and run just for fun. How about that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good news. You know, you bring it to the table. You're always bringing some positive to the table, and that's a beautiful thing. And as I heard so much tonight, I'm really grateful for the positive, you know, desires to just be rendered. You know, when you put that out there, that's a great starting point to be able to continue, you know, to fight the good fight of faith. I mean, that's what it's going to take, because, you know, I'm going to say this, when I got into the world, you know, it's almost like there's no hope. And, you know, I'm out in the street daily because I came from the streets, and I thank God that she made mention of that. Being out there, Pastor Doctor, you know how I'm out there like that. And, man, when I see people captured, twisted, entangled, and so many that's unable to get free, my heart desire and the compassion just start to flourish up even more. And the only reason why I stay out of the streets like I do is because the word of God says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God has some unseen things that's going to be able to be presented that haven't just yet. You understand what I'm saying? That's the only reason why I stay out in the street. Other than that, I would say there's no hope. And I would say in most churches, it should shut them down if they're not going to do according to the word of God. You know, I mean, what's the good to go to church? Then you come up into the church. It's, you know, the power of darkness is strong, but then you just walk up into the church and say, "Here I am." You know, they don't go like that. To meet them where they are, and they're out in the world, crying out, glory to God, crying.
You know, I work.
Go ahead.
I work at one of the hospitals here. I work at one of the hospitals here. And I'm not one that frequents the church every Sunday or Bible study on Wednesday, but I do consider my work to be my ministry. And in doing that, caring for people and trying to help people feel better, any chance that I get to proclaim the goodness of God, I take that. So it's starting, to me, as small as that, to be a witness even.
That's right.
Like you were saying, they're not going to come into the church. So any chance, you just sitting down having a conversation, any chance I get to talk about anything that's righteous or right, that's what I do. And that makes me feel good. It's enlightening to others that maybe don't know, and it's enjoyable to those that do know. They appreciate the conversations even.
Yeah, glory to God. Outstanding.
Yeah.
Can you all believe that we're down to 4.5 minutes? Come on, give me something before we get out of here, man. Yeah, leave.
Okay. I give this I hope the female, you know, I hope that she will continue to call in on Tuesdays and Thursdays whenever you're on. She bring a lot of good things to the table, a lot of good information, and I appreciate her.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much. Again, caller 3072, I echo what Alcat said. We appreciate that. We certainly want to have balanced discussion. And I didn't want this to be all a male-focused discussion because we definitely need that other portion. But at the end of the day, it's male and female got to get it together because our babies need us to. That's why they need us to grow up and be grown folks. We done got them here now. Now we need to take care of them. And I've often said that it's not good enough because, Lord has blessed my wife and I to raise our children. That's not good enough, you know. There are more children out there that need that love, that guidance, that nurturing, that care, and their parents that need to learn how to do that. Let's not cut them down and talk about them. Let's empower them with knowledge and truth and understanding. Then we can make a difference. Pastor Waller, give me last thought before we get out of here. We've got about 2 minutes and 57 seconds.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's been great, man. And I just want to always, you know, bring something to the table that I think is appropriate from what I've learned. And tonight, I've learned that the power of God was on this broadcast tonight. So, Pastor Doctor, I want to speak to you. But I know that you have stood firm in family-oriented, man. And so you deserve your props because you're reaching out and you really don't have to. So God is blessing you, man, to bring to the table things that we do need to talk about. So I just want to encourage everyone to always remember one thing, as I said earlier. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things. We just need to keep the faith and believe that the evidence is going to show up and we will experience change in the life of many people. I believe that.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much. We're about to get out of here. www.bfcinstitute.com. Please go visit there. Learn what we're doing. This is a traveling lecture series. We'll be back next Tuesday, Lord willing, 7 o'clock p.m. for our next discussion. Thank you, Outcast. Thank you, 3072 and Pastor Waller. And Casey had to leave early, but we thank him as well. And we're going to leave with a positive thought here. A message to a son, and we'll see y'all next Tuesday.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters, and boards torn up, and places with no carpet on the floor, bare. But all the time, I've been a-climbing on, and reaching ladders, and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark, where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.